I've been on a bit of a journey over the last few weeks and months as God has been speaking to me, and I've really tried to stay faithful to what we call the Rhema word of God, you know, that now word of God when he speaks to you about yourself or about your current situation or about the church for me. And, you know, and I really want to preach what God wants us to hear. And, you know, over the last few months I've shared different things, haven't I? I've talked about getting into the boat with people, taking them safely ashore, just as Jesus did with his disciples. Now, I've talked about church being outside of four walls of the French A Village Hall. I've talked about the importance of seeing ourselves as God sees us, because if we're going to take church outside the four walls, then we need to have something to take with us. And, you know, we can't just be like everybody else. You know, people need to see, you know, what we have to offer. They need to see Jesus in us, and we need to believe what God has done for us. Well, you know, God has continued to speak to me, and particularly most recently and most differently when I was doing Open the Book at French A Primary School a couple of weeks ago. And we were doing the story of when Paul is held prisoner and he's taken to Rome and he's shipwrecked, and, you know, all sorts of things happen. And I played the part of Paul. And it was because I was playing that part that the story spoke to me in such a profound way, because I found myself, you know, a prisoner in chains, taking charge of this whole situation. I think, well, this is unreal. How can a prisoner in chains be the one that's dishing out all the advice and the direction and everything you can do? And it was so unreal. And yet I could really feel God speaking to me. That's what I want to share with us this morning. And the majority of the story is found in Acts chapter 27. And normally I try to give you all sorts of background and maps and all sorts of things, because it helps us to get the context. But actually, you know, what's going on, you know, before and after is so big that I'd be spending all time trying to do that. So instead, I'm going to take our reading from the Lion Storyteller Bible. That's this. Okay, so I'm sorry if it's going to be a little bit childish, but two pages of this covers about five chapters of the NIV. So you'll see why I want to do this. And I will fill in the bits where it misses out. I mean, basically what's going on, Paul's been all over the place, preaching his heart out, doing all sorts of miracles. Not everybody agrees with what Paul is preaching, and so he's been arrested and he's been sent off to Rome. Okay, that's the real short summary of what's going on. Now, because I'm doing this story out of Open the Book, you're going to have to do a little bit of participation in the same way as we get out as the children to participate. And during this reading, you're going to hear a phrase which says, "Was Paul worried?" And what you all have to say together is, "Not at all." Okay, so let's have a practice. Was Paul worried?
Not at all.
Fantastic. Oh, you're with me. Praise God. Okay. Paul is shipwrecked. City after city, mile after mile, year after year, Paul travelled far and wide, facing danger every day, just so that people could hear about Jesus. Was Paul worried?
Not at all.
In every city he visited, he left behind a little church, a group of people who wanted to live like Jesus. But then Paul went to Jerusalem, and that's when he ran into big trouble. The religious leaders didn't like it when Paul said that Jesus was the special one that God had promised. They were angry when he said that Jesus had really come back from the dead. At last, the religious leaders arrested him and beat him. Some people even wanted to kill Paul. But in the end, he was put in chains and sent to Rome to go on trial before the emperor himself. Was Paul worried?
Not at all.
He knew that God had said Paul would go to Rome to tell people there about Jesus, and now he's on his way. Paul was put on a ship with other prisoners, and at first the journey went well, but then the wind changed, the ship slowed down, and by the time it reached Crete, it was running late. Was Paul worried?
Not at all.
He knew that it wasn't a good time of year to sail, and that if the ship stayed in Crete, everything would be all right. And that's what he told the men in charge, but they didn't want to wait. So off they sailed across the choppy sea. It didn't take long for Paul's warning to come true. A hurricane blew up and the boat was blown like a toy across water. The sailors did everything they could. They dropped the anchor, they threw the cargo overboard, they held the battered boat together with ropes. But the storm went on until the food had run out and it looked like everyone was going to die. Was Paul worried? He knew God would keep them safe. Calmly, he stood and spoke to the others. I had a visit last night from an angel. He told me that we would get to Rome safely. The ship will be destroyed, run aground on an island, but we will all survive. And that's just what happened. The ship was wrecked off the island of Malta. At first, the soldiers and sailors thought only of themselves, but Paul convinced the men in charge that the angel's promise would only come true if everyone stuck together. So that's what they did, and everyone was saved. The people who lived on the island took care of castaways, and after 3 months they joined another ship sailing to Rome. And in that big city, Paul had to stay in his house until the trial. So while he waited, he told everyone who visited him about Jesus. Was Paul worried about what would happen to him? Instead, he was busy writing letters to the churches he had started all over the world. And in one letter, he said, "Don't be worried, just be thankful and tell God what you need. Jesus will give you the peace of God, and that will help you face anything." It's a popular scripture. Well done for participating and humouring me. You know, one of probably the most common themes when people preach from this scripture, people tend to talk about coping with storms of life. And there's plenty in this story about what we can learn to cope with storms of life. There's a lot about God's providence and care over our lives. And you know, there's a huge amount in the story about that too. But this is not what God put on my heart for this morning. And I do want to be faithful to what God said to me. Today, I don't want us to focus on how Paul overcomes or how God looks after Paul. What I want to do today is I want us to focus on what Paul has to offer those around him. Okay, it's a different perspective. And I believe this is really the kind of thing about taking church outside of the four walls of French A Village Hall. What do we have to offer those around us? And I want to look at three things that Paul has to offer. He has life experiences, he has the Rhema word of God, and he has faith, which is that kind of phrase I talked about a couple of weeks ago. You say, Lord, and I believe. So let's look at the first thing, life experiences. Now, if you were to read through the life of Paul from when he first got saved, when he was persecuting the church, then he got saved, through to when we have the story today, you'll see that Paul has lots of life experiences. He'd been through so much. He travelled all over the place. He travelled all times of years. He'd experienced several shipwrecks. You don't find that in Acts, but you certainly find it in Corinthians when he's referring to them. He's been attacked. He's been criticised. He's been thrown in prison. He's had a tough time, but he's also known the faithfulness and power of God. You know, he's done all sorts of miracles. He's seen lots of people saved. He's started up lots of churches. You know, this man walked closely with God, and he has lots of life experiences. And he finds himself in a very interesting situation. So they've been sailing from Caesarea towards Italy, and they've experienced some winds and storms, and they've been forced to dock in a place called Fair Haven. Now, the winds have caused considerable delay, and it's now reached time when it's actually unsafe to sail, right onto the edge of winter. Now, it might be, Fair Haven might be a great place to stay in the summer, but we're told that it's a particularly bad place to be in the winter. So the ship's crew have decided that they want to get going again, okay, to move on from Fair Haven. And in Acts chapter 27, verse 10, this is what Paul says about their plan to move on. He says, "Men, I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well." Now, I just wanted to try and characterize the way he's talking here. He's not sort of standing up and saying, "Thus says the Lord." you know, God says this is going to happen if you do this, and you're being disobedient, and all. He doesn't present it like that at all. You know, he's a man who's well traveled. He understands the times and seasons. He says, "Look, guys, if you set off now, you're going to get into trouble." I really believe it. I'm sure he probably also sensed it in his spirit, but really, he's just talking to these guys on the boat out of his life experience. Thing is, Paul was not going to have an easy time talking to all these people. He was having to deal with all sorts of things. These sailors and soldiers, they were impatient. There was a lot at stake. If they didn't get the prisoners to Rome in time, they could lose a lot of money, or worse, they could find themselves in significant trouble. And, you know, it's just classic these days. We find in the world that people are impatient. They don't like waiting. I read in the UCB just this week about how tempting it is to respond to the urgent. You know, when something's urgent, you've just got to do it. I'm a little bit like that. But sometimes we need to step back and do the right thing. You know, rushing is not always the right thing to do. He was having to deal with experts versus godly wisdom. You know, it's fair to say, isn't it? You think the crew, the sailors, do know best. After all, they're the ones in charge of the ship. But they had other motives going inside them. They really wanted to get there. So they were probably saying, well, we can risk it. We can do this. And it may not have been sound advice, even though they were, in quotes, the expert. So man of God, normal guy versus the expert. He was having to fight this, there's somewhere better. We, you know, as I explained, Fairhaven was going to be a lousy place to stay over the winter. And as far as they were concerned, the other side of the island was going to be far better. There's always something better, isn't there? There's always something more people want. And you know, rather than stick something out, even if the current circumstances are not great or they're difficult and not ideal, there's always that temptation to want to rush on and do something else. And he's fighting that too. Most importantly, I think this is the most significant one. It was the majority versus the lone voice. Everyone else was saying, we need to go on, we need to move on, we need to do this. And Paul was the one lone voice who was saying, no, you don't. We need to stay, otherwise things are going to go bad. And I ask ourselves a question today. You know, do we speak up and do we speak out when everybody else around us is saying one thing, even though we believe in our hearts something different, especially from our own experience, and especially from walking with God, and we know how God feels about things, you know, and yet the world is saying one thing, but we know in our hearts something different is true. You know, do we sit there feeling nervous? Are we worried that we're going to lose friends if we speak up? Are we worried that, you know, people are just going to have a go at us, have a stab at us? You know, today, you know, some of these things are going to be tough, but today the world sees nothing wrong with homosexuality. It sees nothing wrong with sex before marriage. It sees nothing wrong with recreational and promiscuity sex. It sees nothing wrong with divorce, and it sees nothing wrong with abortion. Now, all these things have just become norm in today's society. The world believes that God and church is irrelevant, and that mankind is the result of some random biological event, and God has nothing to do with it whatsoever. People believe that when they die, there's no life after death. Or if they do believe there's life after death, they believe that God will simply forgive them because God is a God of love. When are we going to be a lone voice amongst all those voices that are saying these things, and start saying to people, look, if you carry on this way, it's going to end in disaster, because that's what the Bible tells us. There's a lost, broken world out there. They're all saying the same thing, but we have something to offer. We have the truth, we have the word, and we need to speak up and we need to speak out. You know, and I'm not talking about preaching. Paul didn't stand up, say, thus says the Lord, get his Bible out and bash him over the head with scriptures. He just had a conversation. He spoke out of his heart, he spoke out of his experience, out of his own personal wisdom. And I'm not talking about judging people here either. You know, we don't look down on people and judge them. Out of love and experience, we have something to offer those people around us. We can have the different view to the prevailing view of the world. when we find ourselves in all these situations. You know, we need to believe that we have something to offer the world around us. This is what I tried to share 2 weeks ago. You know, when we have so many voices trying to drive us down and say we're no good and we can't do this and we can't do that. God sees us differently. And he sees us as you know, ambassadors for him. And we have so much to offer the world. You know, we have treasures in jars of clay we talked about last time. And this is what Paul did. This is exactly what he did. He kind of took his church life and he took it outside four walls of any house meeting or anything like that. And he was in day-to-day life and he brought wisdom and he brought life to those around him. Did they listen? Well, we know they didn't listen, did they? Because they went on ahead anyway. And the chances are, you know, when we tell the truth and when we speak our heart and we share our life experiences and things like that, if people don't want to hear it, if it's contrary to what they believe or it's inconvenient and it messes up their plans, they won't want to hear us either. But what does that mean? Paul didn't abandon the crew just because they didn't listen to him. Now, I know you're going to tell me, well, he couldn't abandon the crew. He was a prisoner. He was in chains. He had no choice but to carry on in the boat. I know that, a technicality, okay? But as I thought about that, I did feel God wanted me to make this point that, you know, just because someone has a different view to you and just because you share with them and they disregard what you say or maybe even offend you in their response doesn't mean that we then walk out on them. Jesus didn't give up on us. He went all the way to the cross. And God expects us to persevere with people and stay on the boat with them and keep sharing our heart and keep sharing our life experiences, because sooner or later they'll get to a point where they will listen. Which takes us on really to the next point. One of the other things that Paul has to offer is what we call the Rhema word of God. Paul is living and walking with God and God's speaking to him. So for a short while, it seemed like things were going well. The wind was in the right direction to move the ship round to the next port in the island. And they must have felt totally justified in their decision. Well, yeah, you were wrong, Paul. See, look, it's all right. But it didn't take long for things to go wrong and the ship started to get tossed around and battered. And it was during this time that God speaks to Paul specifically about the situation they are all in. And this is what it says in Acts 27, 21 to 24. It says, "Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage and loss. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood before me. And he said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you.'" I love that. "I told you so." We try to avoid saying that, don't we? Because it sounds very arrogant and cheeky and may offend people. But actually, Paul did tell them so. And he's telling them, "Well, I told you." And in some ways, he's establishing his credibility. Listen, I was right. And the chances are, you know, if you're moving in God and you're feeling God, you're going to be right. And sometimes we have to, you know, it's right to say that. What I want us to note here, though, is the change in nature in the way that Paul is speaking. So the last point was Paul was just talking his life experiences. He'd been experienced traveling, he'd been doing all these things. He knew what it's all about and he was just sharing his heart. Look, if you sail, it's going to be a disaster. But the way he's speaking now is boldly. He's talking about God. He's talking about what God has said. And he's talking about what God is going to happen. He's basically speaking prophetically. This is why we talk about the need for the prophetic gift, for the spiritual gifts to be, you know, we need to embrace them. We need to equip ourselves with them. Not for in here, although they're useful in here too. Because actually God wants us to be prophetic and moving supernaturally out with people all around us. See, sooner or later, we are going to come alongside people who are desperate. They're broken. And they need more than just good advice. Somehow, they need the word of God speaking into the situation and speaking into their lives that's going to somehow profoundly and powerfully make a difference. We need to learn to speak prophetically. We should note at this point, you know, there'd been many days where they couldn't see the sun or the stars. Now, in those days, that was the only way they could navigate the sun and stars. So you know, they'd gone for days, and they hadn't a clue where they were. They were totally blind. And as I think about that, this is the world that we are speaking. The world is blind. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful or offensive way. Quite simply, spiritually and truthfully, the world is blind. It does not realize that, you know, that their lives are heading for destruction unless we say we point them out to Jesus and we point out the difference. I mean, Nikki at the beginning of the meeting talked about how our joy needs to lighten the world around, needs to lighten up people's lives. And that's what we have to offer. We have the Holy Spirit within us, and we need to shine bright that people can see that there's a difference around us that we have to offer. So this is also part of taking church outside of the four walls. Of course, it's doing missionary type work, it's doing good deeds and things like this, but God wants us to be prophetic. Not just in church, but take everything that he's put within us and use it to those around us. So church is taking the prophetic, learning to speak the word of God into situations around us. And finally, what Paul had is faith. You say, I believe. You know, when Paul was speaking prophetically in verses 21 to 24. He goes on to say this in verse 25. I love this. He says, so take courage, for I believe God. It will be just as he said. I believe God. Let's say that phrase together. I believe God. Doesn't that feel good? I believe God. We heard this morning. We've got to believe God. How can we offer anything to the world around us if we don't believe God and we don't believe what God says about, you know, to us about himself and about ourselves, and we don't believe his word? We, you know, I shared my heart a couple of weeks ago. When God speaks, you say, I believe. It's the way we can have something to offer those around us. We have to believe God. You know, if we were to cast our eye back a little bit, a few earlier chapters, in chapter 19, verse 21, you know, when Paul was moving in the Spirit, he was trying to figure out where God wanted to do next. And in chapter 19, 11, there's a sense in which he feels in the Holy Spirit that God wants him to go to Rome. So this is something he feels, okay? So he believes that God wants him to go to Rome. Only as soon as God gives him this word, everything seems to go pear-shaped. You know, he's preaching his heart out. Everyone's against him. The Jews want to kill him. He gets arrested by the Romans, probably to protect him from the Jews. He's trying to explain everything that's going on. They don't get it. And it's in the middle of this turmoil that God reassures him in chapter 23. He says, look, Paul, don't worry. You really will go to Rome and you will preach the gospel in Rome. So Paul is living and walking by faith. So even though everything is pear-shaped, is in storms, even though the behavior of the sailors and the decisions that they make seem to be completely undermining the word of God, Paul is in the middle of this dreadful situation, believing God. He genuinely believes he's going to get to Rome. Why? Because God told him so. And it's that faith that somehow gives him the strength that he needs to be able to communicate the word of God powerfully. Listen, you'll never really be able to persuade people with the word of God or move prophetically if you just don't believe God yourself. You've got to believe God for yourself. You've got to believe what God has spoken into your lives in order for you to be able to then impart that to others. I really believe that, you know, our faith is not just good for us. Our faith is good for others around us. Now, all these storms, all these decisions that the unwise save, you know, sailors, you know, they really could have messed it up for Paul. But was Paul worried?
Not at all.
Why? Because he believed. Simple as that. It's just such a small phrase. I'm so glad that Helen came and shared that simple word. You know, got to believe. And we have, folks. We've got to start believing God if we want to take church outside. You know, we should not underestimate the power of faith on the lives of those around us. You know, the world is full of hopelessness, despair, disappointment, disillusionment. That's how the world fears. But, you know, we can stand alongside people. We can be in meetings and, you know, and around people and socializing with people. And we can be different. We can be a half glass full person, half full glass, whatever. I always have been a half full person. I just have. I struggle with negativity. We have so much to thank God for, and we have so much in our lives to offer those around us. You know, we can bring hope, we can bring encouragement, we can bring strength. We can only do it if we believe, we really believe. So I feel at this stage, Paul is speaking with real authority now. And this is what I noticed when I did the story, when I acted it out. It just felt so unreal. You know, this prisoner in chains who had been beaten up and accused and was had almost been killed by his own fellow Jews. This man, a prisoner, was speaking with authority. He was in charge. It's crazy, isn't it? He was in charge. You know, we might think we are the most unlikely, most unqualified, most unworthy person to speak into a particular situation or to speak into a person's life. But you know, you might be exactly the right person to come alongside somebody, to speak into somebody's life, to just find yourself in a particular situation and you're there and God wants to use you. You might think it's unlikely and unreal, but this is what Paul did. He was the man on the front line, and because he believed God, he was able to impart God and make such a difference. Taking church outside of four walls is imparting your own faith. Faith can be really infectious, but you've got to have faith yourself in order to be able to impart that faith to others. So, coming to land. So I've been thinking, you know, why is this church outside four walls? I know you probably think, well, I'm stretching this scripture, I'm stretching this story to try and make a point. Maybe I am, but I'm only doing what I believe God instructed me to do. You know, we really do have something to offer the broken world around us. You know, we all have life experiences. You know, when you have high moments in your life, that's great, isn't it? But when you have low moments, when things are falling around all around you, when you're going through tough times, when things don't work out the way they should work out, when you get disappointed, when you fail, and failing is miserable. But remember that the famous Thomas Edison quote, you know, it's just, you know, 909 times, you know, towards success, isn't it really? You know, I truly believe every single experience we have, whether it's good, bad, successful, failure, high, low, every experience is an experience that God can use for you to make a difference to those around you if you're willing to make yourself vulnerable, speak your heart and life experience and just be normal, but allow the life of God that's within you to make a difference. You haven't got to preach, you haven't got to get your Bible out, you haven't got to do anything. You've just got to be the man or woman of God that He's made you with your well of life experiences and just give it out to people and let that make a difference. And we can all do that. You know, where the world is blind, and I do believe the world is blind, we can light up the world. Like Nikki said at the beginning, we can light it up with a prophetic word. We can help people see through the lens of the Holy Spirit what they can't see through their own eyes. It can be really difficult, can't it, when you're that lone voice? You know, when everybody's saying one thing and your heart aches and you're feeling the pain because you just know, God, this is not how it should be, God, and you're frightened to speak up, but you could speak powerfully through the prophetic and make a difference. But it's those who God has put in your path. This is what Paul did. And this is a really key point here. You know, Paul was on a mission. Paul was living and walking by faith. He knew he had to go to Rome. And he was going to Rome and he believed he was going to get to Rome. And there was a bunch of people around him. 256, was it? Or 276, I don't know. The Bible says how many there were. So there's quite a few people that God had placed in Paul's boat. And God has said to Paul, he said, every one of them, he said in Acts 27:24, he said, God's goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. And I ask you the question, who's in your boat? Who is in your boat? What's he mean by that? I don't mean a literal boat. Now, your boat might be your job. It might be your family. It might be some other circumstance. It might be some Christian activity that you're involved in. But who is in your boat? Who is it right now that your life, your walk with God, is intersecting with? Because God wants to extend the same grace that he did to Paul. He wants to extend that same grace to you. He wants to save all of them. In fact, we know that. God wants everyone saved, not willing to any should perish. God wants to save the people around you. The people who are in your boat right now, God wants to save. But are you willing to speak to them? Are you willing to share your life experience? Are you willing to be the lone voice? Are you willing to contradict other people's views? Are you willing to learn and speak prophetically and be bold to bring something different to this world? Are you willing to simply believe? Who is in your boat? That's your mission field, and that's church outside the four walls. Finally, I just find this really interesting. I won't expand on it. But when things were at their most dire, things were really critical, what does Paul do? It says in verse 35, he said, he took some bread, he gave thanks to God before them all, and he broke off a piece and ate it. And then everyone was encouraged and they began to eat. Now, this is not some sort of Eucharist event. You know, I don't believe Paul was talking about the blood and body of Christ and having, you know, some sacrament. They were simply, you know, this is how they started a meal in those days. This is what Jesus did when he walked with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they got to the end and they broke bread together. And I just find it interesting, in quotes, that with God has been speaking to us so much about around the table, that even in this story about Paul, there's kind of a hint of, yeah, you know, church outside four walls can be done around a meal. And I'll leave that thought with you. Amen.